only one can make someone alive, truly regenerated. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God. Let's take heart. Let's take encouragement from this. Let's understand. Man will say blah, 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 blah. But here we are, and the Word of God is proving to be exactly what it says about itself: imperishable.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And before we begin today, we want to ask you the question, hey, what's on your radio? What's on your spiritual radio, that is? What we're finding as we go into God's Word today, in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible talks a lot about what's to be on our radio. In fact, we see that when hope is our fuel, then holiness is our vehicle, and then harmonies on the radio. It's a big truth for all of us this morning, isn't it, Robbie?
Yeah, I like how you just said that, Craig. That's good. You should stick with that one as well. Where there's true hope, then there's holiness, and yes, there will be harmony. And of course, God's Word points us to that. In some ways, you know, Craig, we make things so complicated when they don't have to be. It's amazing. You seek to put Christ first. You fill your life with His hope, and naturally what flows from that is a desire to be like Him and then to love like Him. So we're praying that the hope would lead to love within the lives of His children today. And so you're listening right now, and maybe you're holding on to a grudge. Maybe you're in a place where pride is preventing you from seeing God's power move in your life. Maybe you're just simply just being stubborn. And today would be the day where God would break that and say, my child, don't do that anymore. Be filled with hope. Move towards holiness and see the harmony that results within your life. Because when it's there, man, we just win. We just win. So help us, Lord. Help us to be smart and wise and promote that which God wants to bring and the fruit of His harmony.
Amen. Well, let's get right away to God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1 and hope, holiness that leads us to harmony. Let's go again to our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
When God gives birth to something or someone, they'll never, ever die. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And what is the imperishable seed? Notice in verse 23, the imperishable seed is the living and abiding Word of God. It's the gospel of our salvation. It's the truth of God's Word. God has made us alive by the reception by faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So far in 1 Peter, we've had an imperishable inheritance, verse 3. We've had an imperishable redemption, verses 18 and 19. Now we have the imperishable Word of God. And ladies, you get excited about this. In chapter 3, verse 4, in a few weeks, you're going to see that Peter's really fired up about a thing called imperishable beauty. Imagine that, a beauty that's imperishable. Take that, world. And this is what God wants to bring, things that cannot perish and cannot die. But Peter's point is this: since you've been born again by that which is imperishable, ready? If you've been made alive in Jesus Christ, live like it. If you've been brought forth from death and given life, live like it. Love like it. Prove it with your life. If God has made you new, He's given you a new heart and a new mind, then we are to prove it by the way we live. Live as though we are alive. Now, I've never seen it in this way before, at least not in this verse, but I've always known it and said it often. The two things that God has given to us as believers in His church, the two things God has given to us, if you boiled it all down to two things, what has God given to us? He's given to us His Spirit, and He's given to us His Word. The two things, most fundamentally, God has given to us as believers in the church, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So think about 1 Peter so far. Verse 3, chapter 1, we've been born again to a living hope by the Spirit of God. We've been regenerated. And now verse 23, we've been born again by the Word of God, which is the gospel. So if you want to live as though you are alive, what are we learning here? Live in the Spirit of God by the Word of God. That's most fundamentally how we will see love expressed through our lives and prove that we've been made alive. Live in the Spirit of God by the Word of God. It's right here is what God wants to say. You're like, well, how does that happen within my life? Okay, honestly, you got to figure that out. Like, you have to know prayer, read the Word, seek God for what only He can do in His strength. Build your life upon the fact that you need to be in the Spirit, living in the Spirit by the Word of God, His truth. You got to sit down, and I think the Lord's going to show you, but let me just help you a little bit. Here's one example from my routine within my life of trying to live in the Spirit by the Word of God. Someone from our church, a great family, gave me this little plaque, this verse, which I have placed on my desk. So at home in our bedroom, I have a little nook, which is like yay big, where my desk is, and I do my study for writing out my sermons, at least on Thursdays, and it's like this, but it's mine, all right? So it's when a noise machine is turned on, the door is closed, and I can't hear any sounds beyond that room, and I'm there with me. I just love it so much. And this little verse plaque thing that was put on the screen for you here, these verses from Psalm 143. And I every morning I sit down on Thursday, this is my prayer to my God before I begin to try to write these messages. Because I can't do it. I got nothing. I mean, do you have something? I got nothing. I don't got any wisdom. I don't got any strength. I don't have any knowledge apart from what the Lord gives me. I got His Spirit and His Word. And so I'm fully dependent on that. Do you got something? I got nothing. I got nothing. And so I sit down with all sincerity. Lord, let me hear in the morning of Your steadfast. The morning is my lifeline. I don't have my mornings, I'm dead. It's like when I get fueled up with, you know, God's fuel for my life. And if I don't go to the gas station, I can't run very far. And let me hear in the morning of Your steadfast love. For in You I trust, make me know the way I should go. Show me the way I should go, another translation says. Make me know the way I should go, because I don't know, God. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. You have to show me, make me, for to You I lift up my soul. It's You, God. It's a prayer of, in Your Spirit, You must lead me. Teach me to do Your will, for You are my God. And here, let Your good Spirit, capital S, lead me on level ground. You see, this very verse is such a great example of living in the Spirit by the Word of God. It's the Word of God telling me I don't know, but the Word of God telling me I need the Spirit of God to lead me where I should go. And this is to be the pattern of every day of our lives. If you want to be living as though you're alive, you must live in the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, because the only things that can cause us, one, to be alive in the first place, and then to stay living as though we are alive, it's Spirit and truth, truth and Spirit, Spirit and truth. This whole church is built on those two things, Spirit and truth. And so what Peter does here now, he quotes Isaiah 40 to make his point even further. And he says in verse 24, all flesh is like grass and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. So here's some more good theology. Ready? Whatever of man will fall, whatever of God lasts forever. Man will fall, God forever. Man will die, God lives forever. Man can't do it, God already has. Man is not so great, God is awesome. Man will fall, God is forever. My advice is then get with God. Get with God, because He's forever. All flesh is like grass, and it's going to fade. The flower is going to, it's all going to fade away, but God and His Word will live forever. So this is when I stop long enough and I think about it. It's shocking to me, the arrogance and overconfidence of man. Every generation, the arrogance and overconfidence, every generation thinks that they're the smartest. We figured it all out, and we're going to condemn thousands of years of people because we think we're so smart. Recently, I was watching Richard Dawkins, a well-known atheist, and he was spitting in God's face with his verbiage. And when you really step back and you listen to the things that he's saying, so arrogantly condemning God and anyone who believes in God, and when he's asked what he's going to say one day, if there actually is a God and he meets them, he'll just be like, well, why didn't you give me more evidence to your existence? And you know, God has. This is what the Bible tells us. The two books that He has written, the book of creation and the book of His word, which we are here right now, listen, which remains forever. See, the pride of man for me is just astounding. Generation after generation, they say, God is dead. God is dead. And they say the Bible will be extinct. It will no longer be around. But here's what always happens. The Bible will always rise to outlive its pallbearers, right? all the time, every single time. I mean, we have history behind us. Learn from it, loved ones. Person after person has said, God is dead. The word of God is not the Bible. What has happened? They have died and the word of God continues on. They have died. Richard Dawkins, pray for him, man. I mean, he will die and the word of God will continue on. And today across this world, the word of God is making alive thousands and thousands and thousands of people, taking them from death and giving them life. Try doing that, atheism. You can't do it. Only one can make someone alive, truly regenerated. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God. Let's take heart. Let's take encouragement from this. Let's understand. Man will say blah, 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 blah. But here we are, and the word of God is proving to be exactly what it says about itself. Imperishable. Moving again like never before. Why? Because God has written this book, and this book has made us alive if we're believers in Jesus Christ. And again, look at verse 25, the end of it. And this is the word that, this is the good news that was preached to you. And this is the good news that was preached to you. The gospel makes alive the power of the gospel for salvation. Everything else in the world is fading, decaying, and dying except for believers in Jesus Christ. That is so awesome. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, ready? This is for you today. So do not lose heart. Hey, loved ones, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Why? Although your outer nature is wasting away, amen? Your inner nature is being renewed day by day. Think about that. That's really, really good theology. Don't lose heart, loved ones. Don't lose heart. Why? Although my outer nature is wasting away, my inner nature in Jesus Christ is actually becoming newer and being renewed day by day because God has made me alive. And when God makes something alive, they will never, ever to be subject to death again, ever, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you see hope, life built on hope, and then there's holiness. The harmony begins to flow from the holiness, the harmony of love, and the harmony of we live as though we are actually alive. We are living as though God has made us alive and we are growing in him. The harmony that comes to the church when we realize what we've been given in Jesus Christ. So we see love and we see alive, living now. And next we see this in point three, leaving. If we're going to see harmony, we must leave some stuff behind, specifically sin. How much sense does this point make in terms of harmony in our lives, our family, or our church? The single greatest way to produce harmony is to pummel sin. Single greatest way to see harmony in your life is to pummel sin. The healthiest lawns are weed-free. The healthiest bodies are virus-free. The healthiest hearts are sin-free. Now, I understand we will not be sin-free until Jesus comes, but until then, we are to grow more and more in Christ, and the more we grow in Christ, the less sin has a hold on us, and the more his righteousness is seen through us. That's the point. That's the call for growth. But look at what Peter does now, chapter 2, verse 1. So, and some translations say, therefore, so because of this truth, put away all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and slander, he says. So the first so or therefore, in other words, if you're alive, then live like it. If you're alive, live like it. How do we live like it? Lose the sin. You gotta leave the sin behind. Peter says, put away. And put away is just what it sounds like. It's get rid of it. It's literally separate from. It's when you have something on, you're like, oh, gross, get off me. Oh, that's disgusting. And you throw it and you stomp on it and you put it in the trash and get away from me, you disgusting whatever it is. This is what we're doing with sin right now. Put it away. When you recognize the sin that is now clothing you and wreaking havoc upon your life, he's like, get rid of it. Separate yourself from it. Take it off. See it as what it is, disgusting and evil and divisive and destructive, and get it out of your life. I am separate from you now because I'm alive in Jesus Christ. That's what Peter's saying here. So put it away. This is Ephesians 4, put off old self. This is Hebrews 12, where it says, lay aside every weight and sin which entangles us. Sin does that. It just entangles. We can't even do anything in our lives. We're straitjacketed because of sin. It clings to us. Get off me, sin. You're ruining my life, sin. You hate me, sin, therefore I want to hate that which hates me. This is not hating him or her, it's hating it. It's hating that which ultimately wants to destroy me, which is sin. Peter's talking to believers in this text. And he's like, if you want to see love, and if you want to see being alive in God's word to be seen through your life, you got to get rid of the sin. You got to take it to task. Ready? A little more life-changing theology. Very logical too. Ready? Sin stinks. Sin stinks. You can rationalize it all you want. You can try to make excuses. When it comes down to it, the truth is sin just stinks. And that's exactly why Peter says, put it away. Throw it in the garbage. There's no confusion as to the command here. We must be done with it. Now, can we just admit this, that the opposite of harmony is sin? Harmony is what's unity. Harmony is agreement. Harmony is peace, love. It's beautiful. It's friendship. Again, harmony is love. What is sin? Sin is destructive. It's hatred. It's ugly. It's division. It's devastating. Again, it's disgusting. Now, if you're like me, man, I love listening to good harmony. You know, voices in unison. It's so beautiful. And whether it's Christmas time or any other time, just hearing voices sung out. I have such an appreciation for music. I love it so much. I pray it real loud. And to hear harmony. It's so. But have you ever listened to voices not in harmony? You know, and you're kind of sitting there and people try to sing and sometimes they think they sound good, but then you're like, oh, like, you know, when you're sitting in the audience and you actually feel so bad for them and you kind of cringe and you got a pit in your stomach and you're like, I can't believe this is happening. And you're almost like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? That's the effect of a lack of harmony, and times that by 100-fold when it comes to sin. The harmony of love, it's so beautiful. But the lack of harmony in sin is so awful. It's so funny. I've never heard of a 911 call due to harmony. 911, what's your trouble, sir? Oh, just our home right now. We're just so filled with love and peace. Need you over here right now. I mean, everyone's getting along so well. It's just crazy. We're just sitting there. We love each other. We love each other. Please get here quick. That never, ever, ever will happen. Because the fruit of harmony is what I just expressed. But then the call is because of sin. The pain. The hurt. The evil, the slander, the destruction, the woundedness, the bitterness, the unforgiveness. It's ruining my life. It's tearing apart my marriage. It's wrecking my home. I can't do this anymore. That's the reality of what sin is. So Peter says, we got to put it away then. You got to leave this behind. Leave what behind? He lists five sins. The first one is malice. Put away malice. What is malice? Listen to this. Malice is when you are pleased with someone else's harm. When you are pleased with someone else's harm. It's when you harbor evil thoughts towards another person and enjoy it. It's pretty evil. It's malicious behavior. Take this very seriously. I put away deceit. Deceit is the selfish, two-faced attitude where you deceive others for personal gain. Deceit is, I manipulate you, I trick you because I'm serving my own purposes. It's dishonesty to the core. Again, it's wicked. Now, as we go through these lists, here's my advice to you. Jeremiah 17 tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. Okay? My advice to you is we go through these lists of sins. Don't assume you're innocent. Assume you're guilty. Start with the premise of, I'm probably going to find some stuff in my life here right now. It's amazing how the heart says, oh, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. Don't listen to your heart, man. Listen to the word. Listen to what God has said from his word. Just start with, don't say, oh yeah, you need to hit, you need to hit, you don't be doing this, man. Just be doing this. Be doing this. This is a starting point. That's maturity. That's humility. And just assume there's something here. Because I'm telling you, this week, as I went through this list, there's stuff here for me. And it hurts, but it's right. I love the hurt of God, if I could say it that way. Because he's loving me. He's loving me to more greater pastures of holiness and joy. But it comes through the process of admitting and repenting of the sin. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, we've covered this, is the opposite of sincere, but this is when you're an actor. You're playing a part. You're not for real. It's pretending. It's pretending for evil purposes to appear to be something that you're not. Watch out for that. Putting on a show. You're saying things that you know inherently aren't true. The most scary part is in your pride when you convince yourself what you're saying is true. When everyone around you knows that it's not. Envy. Envy describes pain felt. Listen to this. This is interesting. Describes, well, it's actually horrible, but Envy describes pain felt and evil conceived at the sight of excellence or happiness of another person. Envy is when you have the sight of someone in excellence or their happiness and you actually physically feel something painful inside of you. Because you are jealous of that person and you want what they have. That's envy. You are physically affected by the evil and sin within you as you long to be or to have what someone else has. Envy is hatred for someone who are either better than you, in your opinion, or better off than you, in your opinion. Peter says, put it away. It's going to kill you. And then I think slander makes sense because slander is when we are prone to tear down verbally those that we are envious of. So one of our greatest mechanisms for dealing with those that we are jealous of is we tear them down, and specifically slander is tearing down the character of another person, judging their heart, judging their motives, and deciding that we're going to be judge of who they are in Christ or who they are not, whatever, and then we're going to speak in evil that way of destroying again their character. It's pretty serious. So we go through this, put away these sins, and this is now wisdom time. So think of how our lives, our family, and our churches, think of how these sins have ruined lives. Think of how these sins have quenched the spirit. And ready, see what God is saying. Notice this, make sure you see this, okay? Ready? He's like, love earnestly, live as though you're alive in the word of God, but the next thing he says is put away sin. Why? Well, because if you don't put away sin, there's not going to be love and there's going to be alive behavior in the word of God. See, some of you right now are like, how come I don't have much love in my life? How come I'm not hungering for the things of the word of God? How come I'm not living as though I'm alive? Your answer could be, and the reason it's here in God's word, is because sin is all over your life. See, again, this is logical, life-changing theology. If sin has flooded our lives, joy and love and aliveness in Christ will not be easily seen. Sometimes we're searching for answers so beyond ourselves when the answer is found within ourselves. And what God is saying, I'm not saying this to you today. It's not me. I'm just telling what God has said in his word so clearly. If you want real love, if you want real life, you got to get rid of real sin. You got to go to war against it. Because there is no life and love if our lives are filled with sin. And this is the hard work of holiness. But remember, God will never command from us what he's not willing to do in us. But he works through a surrendered, repentant, humble heart. That's what he works in. See, this is wisdom. This is wisdom. Hate that which hates you. It's called sin. And I got to say to you, every day of my life, I'm trying to do this. There is not a day that goes by where I don't think about this in some level. Why? Because of the reality of the sin that reigns and lives within me. That's why humility and love always win. They always win. They always win. Humility and love, the two greatest virtues in the New Testament by far. Number three isn't even close. And why would Christ and the Holy Spirit hold up love and humility? One and two, all the time. Because it's the answer to joy. It's the answer to life. It's the answer to seeing this love within us. It always wins. Sin always loses. Hope, holiness, and notice this. When you are loving and you're living and you're leaving sin behind, then what happens? Number four happens. You're longing for growth. Of course you are. This is when you start to grow. This is when things start to happen in your life. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. And by the way, when I go through these verses like this week, you understand that in my study, I'm sitting here, I'm going, oh, this is a whole sermon on its own. You know, I'm just in pain on my desk because I'm going, oh, I wish I had a whole sermon on this. And you're not really feeling my pain, are you? That's okay. All right. But anyways, there's so much here. And look at verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, ready? What's often the best attack on sin? Here it is, sanctification, hunger for the Lord. The best attack of sin is, I'm too hungry for Christ. I don't have time for you, sin. It's like, get out of my way, sin. I'm going for Jesus. That's often the best attack on seeing sin left behind because we have no time for sin because we're so focused on loving our God. You will feed yourself on that which you hunger for every time. You will feed yourself on that which you hunger for. When you're hungry for the Lord, you feed yourself with the things of the Lord. Now, verse 2, I read a couple years ago, Howard Hendricks, he gave an outline for this verse, and I loved it so much. I wrote it in the margins of my Bible, and I just want to share it with you today as a way to look at verse 2. Verse 2, the first thing he said was, notice the attitude that we have. Like newborn infants, the innocence of an infant, the simplicity, these infants, right? They got one focus, man. They got one focus. That's their attitude. One thing for their life. What is it? It's their appetite. That's the second A. There's three A's. Attitude, appetite, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk. Long. And this isn't like as opposed to meat elsewhere in scripture. This is the word. It's the pure spiritual word. It's longing for the truth of God's word. It's longing to hunger in Christ like an infant. And oh, the appetites of infants. Amen. We've had four of them go through our house. Man, they're hungry. Wah. 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 He's like, four times all those years, like, man, there's an appetite is unceasing. And what are you doing? And we're supposed to be like that. Longing for the pure spiritual milk, crying out for nourishment. So the attitude, the appetite, and notice the aim, you see the aim here, that by it you may grow up. See, I can't lower the bar for you. Sometimes I want to, and sometimes maybe you want me to, but I can't do it because I keep reading the Bible. And every time I read the Bible, it's like the bar goes higher. But again, because God is going to do it in us. He's like, there's so much more I will do in your life. There's so much further I will take you if you understand the attitude and the appetite and the aim is to grow up to salvation. Ready? Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, the first time I ever tasted the goodness of the Lord was March 9th, 97. That's when I was saved. And that day I got a hold of the menu of Jesus Christ and I was just like, this is so good. This is unbelievable. And you look at the menu of the world and for all those years, the menu of the world's going, oh, I promise this and I'll taste so good. But you taste the menu of the world after you tasted Christ and you're like, ugh, gross, get away. And you're back to the menu of Christ and you're like, yeah, this is so hearty and so healthy and so delicious. But the world brings you back and say, try me. And you get the menu of the world and you're like, no, it's sick. It's gross. You lie, disgusting. And you throw that menu out and you take the menu of Christ again and you realize you lie. Your true Christ is everything and awesome because you've truly tasted the Lord. And when you truly tasted the Lord, nothing else comes close to satisfying you in what is actually real within this life. That is only found in Jesus Christ. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, if you really have, you might wander off, but it won't take long before you're like, that's sick world. Get me back to that which satisfies. Get me back on the menu of Jesus Christ. See? And when you grow, what happens? Harmony. You love. You live as though alive. You leave sin. And you long to be more like Jesus Christ. Hope, holiness, and harmony. Imagine this harmony lived out in our... Imagine what God would do through our lives if we lived this out in Him. Oh God, may it be so.
If you'd like to hear this message again, or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Our prayer is that people are impacted by Living the Light, they would be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.